Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. There's a man rang me the other night. I came home. And I've known this man a long time. He was in a certain denomination for years. And, you know, one day my dad said to me, the Lord's going to bring him out of there. But he says he'll do it in his time. And God did bring him out. And you never would have thought this man would have left this place where he was. But due to circumstances, he came out. And he came out. He's been out of it now a long time. And he says he now realizes he's living on scraps for years. That's his own testimony. But I had a dream about him. And I rang him up and I told him some time back about this dream. And I said, the Lord showed me that you're in a new place and there's several men in this new place and they're going to ask you to minister and you're going to get a position in this new church or group. And he rang me the other night to say that there was so many elders was around the table and they want him to take part in the ministry. And they see a gift of evangelism in him. They want him to be part of their fellowship and part of the work and everything. And he said, you remember, Tom, you told me about this dream. Well, that's happened. It's all happened. And God makes no mistakes. He never makes a mistake. And it was years past. You never would have thought he would have left where he was. But he did. And now he's wondering why he ever was doing there. Living on scraps, he said, for years. But only God can do it. You know, God can do it. And God picks people we wouldn't think. And that's how the Lord works, praise God. I don't want to be very long tonight because I want us to have time. I was thinking maybe not even preaching at all tonight, but I want us to have time to pray. I know myself and Brother John really appreciate your prayers as we go. The whole itinerary, I don't know everywhere, all the services. We know when we get to Adelaide, there's going to be about 4 or 5 days of meetings. There's a convention, and me and John's been there before, and I think it runs for 4 or 5 days, isn't it, Brother John? Might run over to Monday, so it's quite a few days, 2 services a day, and then I'll be flying from there after that a couple of days into Melbourne, and John can tell you, Michael Servant Jack could have meetings arranged everywhere, but I'm not complaining, I'm happy enough to do them. But I'm meant to be going to a Lithuanian Pentecostal church. It's a massive big Pentecostal church. He's asked me, will I go there, and I said, certainly I'll go. I'll go anywhere, the door's open, anywhere at all. And also his home church is Pastor Quasi. He was a minister that started up in Aberdeen, and he started the work in Aberdeen. And Aberdeen was quite a lot of people going at one time when Pastor Quasi was there. Then he left to go to Australia, and Ron took that over. And that's a long time back, isn't it, Sister Carl? And I won't tell you from the pulpit, but when I was going to Melbourne the first time, and Sammy says to me, I'm going to tell you how you'll identify Pastor Quasi, what to look for. And we got off in the airport, and my dad says to me, you wonder where that man is? I says, that's him over there, Dad. And the description Sammy gave me, I was able to go straight to him. It was... That's the description Sammy gave me. And I went straight to him, and my dad couldn't believe it. He said, how did you know him? Have you seen him before? And I says, no. But I knew by the description what Sammy had given me. And we walked straight to him, straight away. And we were there then, praise God. But the Lord's good, isn't he? And then when I get to New Zealand, I'm going to preach for Brother Albert. I think Brother Howard's going to be still in Australia when I get the length of New Zealand, but I'm not sure about that yet. So I'm not sure. There's one meeting or two meetings in New Zealand at the moment. And I think I'm going fishing one day with Albert. He took me out fishing before. And one of them, you know, it's like an aluminium boat. And he got that thing out in the waters and he opened her up. And I'll tell you, I was glad when he stopped to get a bit of fishing. But praise God. Let's turn to John's Gospel tonight. And I'm not going to be very long this evening. And John chapter 10, I just want to speak for a few moments about the Good Shepherd. Let's read from verse 11. Maybe we could stand this evening just for a few moments. And the Lord bless each one. And I don't see wee Brother Laurie tonight, and I'm wondering, is he all right and everything? Let's pray for him. Maybe you can give him a contact sometime, you'll just check everything's all right. You know, not saying, Brother Laurie, he's a few birthdays, you know, and we need to keep an eye on him. You know what I mean? Seriously, that the Lord will just bless him. Amen. We're going to pray for him tonight anyhow. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, But I lay it down to myself, and have power to lay it down, and have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. Isn't that something? This was a commandment that he received, that he could lay it down and lift it again. That's the power of God we're working with tonight. There was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's bow our heads in this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word of truth. And your word is truth. And you promised us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed, no longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. We thank you, Lord, you've set us free, and you've cleansed us and washed us by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We plead the merits of that precious blood afresh in our lives and in our loved ones tonight. And we pray you bless everyone in this house and all that's near and dear to us. Save every one of them in Jesus' precious name. Touch everyone in this room, and touch our brother Matthew and our brother Stephen. And we'll lift wee Laurie before you as well. We pray you'll bless wee Laurie and touch him and strengthen him and watch over him in Jesus' precious name. Bless brother George and sister Winifred and the sisters maybe that had to work tonight. Bless them, we pray, and meet every need in every home in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit now to help me, and I thank you, Will. And I commit it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, or the perfect shepherd. There's good shepherds, and he is the good shepherd, and he is the perfect shepherd. And he giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 11 we read that. This is the outstanding characteristic of the good shepherd, that he giveth his life for the sheep. There's a lot of people that would say they're a shepherd, but they definitely wouldn't give their life for the sheep. You know, the book of Romans says, Romans 5, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But then it says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us all. So a good man would chance it so far, more or less, but he wouldn't go the full road. But Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinner. For the man and woman that didn't deserve it, Christ died. And the gospel is for no one but sinners. And thank God it's for sinners, that Christ died for sinners, praise God. He's not only ready to sacrifice his life in defense of the sheep, but has a commandment from the Father to lay his life down for the sheep. God has commanded him to do it. I tell you, this is something, isn't it? This commandment received I of my Father, that I have to lay my life down. That's why you get John 3:16. That's why. God so loved the world, because God was willing to give his only begotten Son to die in your place and in my place on the cross. His only begotten Son, he was willing to have him die for you and me on the cross 2,000 years ago. Christ died for our sins. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Thank God for that this evening. Christ died for the ungodly, that the sheep might have life through him in abundance. Verse 10 says, look at verse 10 of John 11 here. But if a man, chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Something that is abundant, you have more than enough. If you have something in abundance, you have more than enough. You can share it. And the Lord has given us life abundantly. Abundant life. You know, you think of this here, and the prophet of God said this. He says, think of a wee fish in the ocean, and that fish said to himself, I better not drink too much or I'll drain the ocean. It's impossible. The fish could never drain the ocean, no matter how much he would drink out of it. And we can never exhaust the goodness or the mercy of God. For God's mercy, the psalmist David said, is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. A lot of people's preaching the mercy of God's finished, but the Bible says it endures forever. That's the Bible. Now I'm going to take the Bible, not what man says. Will you take the Bible tonight? The Bible's our absolute. It's God's absolute word. We see redemption here in this passage in verse 17. We see redemption. They say, verse 17 of John 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay my life down. I lay down my life that I might take it again. My Father loves me because I lay it down. You see, Jesus done the will of the Father. He done the will of the Father. You know, he prayed, if it's possible, let the cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus done the will of the Father. Now, there's a point there you could bring out about any other man. There's no other man that you could say from the day he was born to the day of his grave that he never stepped out of the will of God. You could never say that about no man. Not one. There's not a man, even in the Bible, apart from the Lord, you could say that about. They all made mistakes and they had to make them, because there was one coming that wouldn't make them. That was the Lord. Hallelujah. He did the will of the Father. If you go with me, and you can keep your finger in John chapter 10 here, but if we go over to Hebrews 13 verse 20. And if somebody gets it before me, go ahead and read it. Hebrews 13 verse 20.
And the God of grace and the God of peace, the God again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that good shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Amen. He brought him again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We see redemption here. There's one door into the sheepfold, and that one door is Christ. That's the only door in, through Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. And somebody read it again. 1 Peter 2, verse 25.
For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
So every one of us were like sheep going astray. But if you go back to verse 24 of 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, that means wounds, we were healed. For we were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. The Lord has returned us. The Lord's returned us. Praise God. We couldn't do it of our own selves. And we know the voice of the shepherd. Amen. My sheep know my voice. And another voice that won't follow. There's lots of voices today, isn't there? There's voices that tell you to go here and go there. But it's the voice of the Lord we need to hear. Every soul that will follow Christ must individually hear his voice. I think our brother John mentioned that on Sunday, that the voice may be heard through his word. And God will not speak contrary to the word. If the word says one thing and the voice says something contrary, and our brother Gary mentioned it last week, you see, God said to him, you'll not do it. And the serpent said, go ahead. He didn't say what God said. And you see, because they didn't do what God said, they disobeyed. It was disobedience that brought it all. They disobeyed. And God wants us to believe his word. The Bible says, if you believe my prophets, you'll prosper, because you believe in the word. And we're to believe the word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so is the word of God. And Jesus says, not one jot or tittle will pass away, till all things be fulfilled from the word of God. The voice may be heard through his word, his preachers, or even in songs. God can speak to us through a preacher, through songs, through the gifts of spirit, through the word of God. And all these things are part of it. But you will recognize the call of the shepherd's voice to the new life. You know, maybe somebody here, a prophecy could have been given to you many years ago, and it hit you right in here. It was God speaking. The Lord could have spoke to you. Or a wee song could have spoke to you. Or a wee text or anything. But it was God behind it. And it moved you and changed you. His first voice was to the Jewish flock. But he said, I have other sheep. And we read this in opening scripture. That must hear my voice. Multitudes of sheep. They belong to every tongue, every people, nation, kindred, tongue. Christ has paid the price to bring all the sheep. All the sheep. And here's the thing that I'm learning more and more. God's people everywhere. And you could look at it, some denomination, and you could say it's as dry as sticks. And a lot of things about it all, what we wouldn't agree with, but yet with all, look at the people in there, that's the Lord's. That's the truth now. And God knows where every one of his sheep are. And he says he'll leave the 99 and he'll go after that one. And you know God will send a man the whole way around the world for one sheep. That's a fact. God will do that. Do you know why? Because he said, all the Father has given me will come to me. He's on the search. We say we have a hunger for souls, but the Lord's on the search. He's on the search for all his sheep. And he's paid the price for all them sheep. 1 John 2 verse 1 John, Epistle of John, if somebody wants to read it. Chapter 2 verse 2. 1 John 2 verse 2.
He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? For the sins of the whole world. Yes. Now, where do you get a limited atonement there? Where do you get a limited group?
Yes, amen.
It's for all. Now, we know that we believe in predestination, but we don't know who they are. So we must preach to whosoever will. And God has made atonement for the whole world. That's how big this sacrifice is. It's to the whole world. Praise God. To him shall the gathering of the people be. He knows his sheep. John 10 verse 14. And we're opening the scripture, read it. He knows their name, their nature, and their need. God knows your name, your nature, and he knows your need. Amen. Now, a good shepherd that gets to know sheep knows how they work, doesn't he? I can't remember the night, how the fella did it. I can't remember, but you know, you hear about people saying about sheep breaking out. Well, there's a man called Harry that I did a bit of work for, and his young fella took a notion of sheep, and there's two old boys somewhere where he's buying these sheep, and one boy says to him, son, don't you be getting no sheep, your heart will be broke. And there's another old man took him to the side. And he says, I'll tell you what you do with your sheep, and they'll never break. Never. And he listened to what the old boy told him, and them sheep never broke, not once. But you hear people saying that many times the sheep break. I can't remember what he told him to do with them, but the young fella done it. I think he told them to move them regular, even when they don't need moved. Keep moving them. But they never broke on them. And people couldn't understand it, that his sheep never broke. And a lot of other sheep broke. And you see, sheep's a sort of a thing, you could put them in a foot of grass, and they'll leave it. And they'll go somewhere they're not meant to go. That's where they'll go. They go into somewhere like the Fleur here. Out of a foot of grass. That's like the spiritual as well, isn't it? Sometimes people think the faraway fields is green. Now that man that I told you about was in a place for years, and he thought he was getting great feeding, but he wasn't. He was getting starved. And when he come away from it, and he come round a few different wee meetings, non-denominational, and I heard a wee bit of preaching that people had sat under for years, he couldn't believe what he's heard. He got a feed. A real feed. And he got more out of one meeting, he said, than he got in 10 years in the other place, but you couldn't have told him it. I tell you, the Lord wants to feed his sheep. Amen? You know, William Branham once said, he said, Oral Roberts and Jack Cohen, T.L. Osborne, he mentioned a whole list of the men. He says, they're feeding the sheep food. And he was talking about praying for the sick and all. They prayed for them. And he said, that's part of the gospel, they're feeding them sheep food. It's part of it, that you minister to the sheep physically. Pray for them when they're sick and preach them healing as well as salvation. Amen. His first voice was to the Jewish. We know that, and he knows his sheep. John 10:14 tells us that. God doesn't judge from the outside. He judges the heart. He sees our hearts. The Lord sees the desire of the heart tonight. What is the real desire of the heart? He discerns the spirits of men, whether they're carnal or not. God can discern them. And we maybe don't know all the time. You could think somebody's not deep, and they're a lot deeper than you could imagine, and then the other vice versa. But the Lord knows everybody. Amen. He discerns, you know, whether we're Christ-like or not. And his sheep have a love to be like the shepherd. Not what we want tonight. A love to be like the shepherd. 5 minutes, and then we're going to come and pray. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. If somebody gets it before me, you go ahead and read it on 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Amen. If any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, there is something, you see, this is something I want to say tonight. Maybe I hear people saying, you know, there's a man said, he said it about myself, actually. I know it's on tape, but look, he said, I had a ministry. He said, I had a type of a ministry. I preach the cross all the time. That's just what he thought of me. He says, that fella preaches the cross all the time. He's a ministry seeking to the lost and all, but he says, our man has a ministry to the bride. He never preaches that. Now I thought about that. And I thought, if somebody doesn't have a desire for souls, how can they have a ministry to the bride? Because the verse says here, if we love him, then we're going to be like him. That's what it's saying, isn't it? Now the Lord loved us, and he gave himself. The Bible even says here that husband love your wives as Christ loved the church. So if Christ loves the church, we're to love. We're to have that love. And we're to love the unsaved, no matter what they look like. We could look at some of our children tonight. They're not going the way we want them to go. But we're to love them and pray for them. And see God save them. And then we're not to get too high mighty of ourselves. Because we need to take a look back what we come from. And maybe they're nothing like we were. Boys, you know, if you were to look at your own self and put them in the scales, as far as that would go. Now, we know it's nothing to do with that. All have sinned. But we need to have that love for them and pray for them. And if we say we have a message to the bride, how can we have a message to tell his bride that he loves if we have no love for the lost? I can't see how that works myself. And what is a message to the bride? A prophet of God said end time evangelism is to get the bride ready for the rapture. And the rapture will take place when the last one comes in that's meant to come in. And if we're not searching for them, then we're not getting them in. I tell you, that's why it's dangerous ever to stand in front of a man that's a gospel preacher, even if you don't agree with all the ways he did it. If that man wins souls, you need to pray for him. And he mightn't agree and everything, but that's neither here nor. Look at Billy Graham. Billy Graham won souls. The man won souls. And they say it was down to him that the Queen was saved. Billy Graham, they say, had a private talk with the Queen, and she got saved. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I'll tell you one thing. The wee Queen said some great things, didn't she? And she mentioned the Lord. She wasn't ashamed of it publicly to the whole world. And Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. So I believe she was saved. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, we wouldn't all agree with some of the things Billy Graham did. We know that. But that wouldn't change me, because God sent him amongst certain people that others couldn't go to. That's the way I look at it. It's like Lot down in Sodom. And Abraham wasn't in Sodom, but the Bible still calls Lot righteous Lot. Isn't that right? Still God's man. Matthew 24 tells us many false prophets will come. Somebody read Matthew 24:24.
For there shall arise false prophets and if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Amen. Many false, but the shepherd knows the truth. Now, what's the best thing to identify a false? Put it beside the real thing. Amen. When you put it beside the real thing. I seen a thing the other day, and there was a fella, and he was somewhere, and he claims he's a prophet and all the rest of it. What sort of a prophet, I don't know. But he told these women, he picked out the women, and he said, there's 10 women here, and you have to give £1,000 each tonight to me. And they all done it. They give him £1,000 each. And then he says, now, I know God's telling me 10, but even if you haven't got £1,000, if there's our women, and you can give a wee bit, and they come running with a wee bit and give it to them. I tell you, you never read of the Lord doing that. Not once did the Lord do that. Not once. He never done that. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And you know when they asked for taxes, when they asked them disciples for taxes, Jesus sent them down. He said, you take the first feast that comes up and take the coin out of it and pay the taxes. He supernaturally got it. What's that tell you? That tells you if you're living for the Lord and you're following the shepherd, he'll make the way for you. Even if there seems to be no way, he'll make it. And I'm going to have to close because I don't want to take the time up this evening. I haven't finished, but I don't want to take the time up. I want to have time that everybody can pray, and we really want you to pray for us as we go. That the Lord will just watch over us and bless John. John's going into America as well, and that the Lord will really have his way. Amen. And bless the meetings. And we had real good meetings, you know. When me and Andrew went over there the last time, that was 2019. Goodness, it's 4 years ago. We had real good meetings, you know, in Philadelphia. There's another wee place I preached as well. It was a midweek service. And boy, there's a few people got saved that night. I can't remember the name where it was. And it was a big meeting for a midweek meeting. The hall was filled. And we just thanked the Lord. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Remind me in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. And pray again for Mrs. Anderson. How are you? Amen. Just pray. Amen. What's your first name, Mark?
Greta.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of this wonderful shepherd, this great shepherd that we've been hearing about from the Word of God tonight. But thank you for this great shepherd that received a commandment to lay his life down for the sheep and to take it up again. We thank you that you had power to lay it down. We thank you that you had power to take it up. We know that even when you were on the cross, you dismissed your spirit. The enemy didn't take you or kill you, but you dismissed your spirit. And you stepped out of your body, and you went down and preached to those in captivity. And the Word of God said you led captivity captive. And you rose up on the third day, and you gave gifts unto men. Lord, you said, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk upright before you. Lord, tonight we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We know that your love and your truth is new every morning. We pray for Mrs. Anderson tonight. Lord, for Mark's grandmother, we ask you that you'll speak to her. Lord, that you'll really move on her. Speak to her. Speak into her. Speak a word into her soul. And Lord, bring her to the saving knowledge of the truth, we pray. May she go out in victory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, for you said, whosoever will call on the Lord will be saved. And we ask and claim she'll be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim her under the token for your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name tonight. Lord, we ask for the hands that's raised. You know the needs. You know the secret prayers that's been prayed. And you said, if we pray in secret, you will reward us openly. You hear her cry, your ear is ever open, your arms not short, and your ears not heavy, but you're able to see it by the few or by many. Father, answer prayer, I pray. Meet the needs, especially of those that's raised their hand tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, may answer it and meet every need in Jesus' precious name. We pray again for Stephen with these stones and these problems he has. We pray he'll blast them. disintegrate them, Lord, somehow. That he'd be well, Lord, and healed by the power of God, that he'll not need an operation. We pray you'll perform an operation on him, and you'll heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Matthew's blood pressure. When he gets these tests, that all will be well and clear. Touch his body. Raise up the red cell count or whatever needs raised in his system and his body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, grant it tonight. Bless Brother John. I pray as we go into Australia and then as John goes into America. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll prepare the ground, prepare the hearts. And that you'll go before him with mighty anointing the Holy Ghost. And that people will be set free and delivered by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we acknowledge you in all our ways, and you promised you will direct our paths. Lord, we're looking for that one wee sheep, perhaps stranded somewhere along the road. But we ask you, bring them in. We claim every soul that we've been sent for. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we pray you'll defeat the devil on every side. You already conquered him 2,000 years ago, and you rose triumphant o'er the foe. Grant the victory unto your people over every area of their lives. Lord, we rebuke sickness, disease, colds, and flus, and COVIDs, and viruses. We come against every one of them. Pains and aches, and everything we come against in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity, and we command it to go off your people and go back. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim the Holy Ghost on them. In the name of the Lord. Send the power of God upon your people. Revive your work, Lord. Oh, Lord, we need revival. We need a real moving, a real quickening of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Oh, God, quicken us, we pray. Light up the smoldering embers. Make them burn in a flame. In the name of Jesus Christ, baptize us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, Lord, tonight, move in this building, I pray. Move in this house, Lord. Sweep this room with the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray for Christians tonight, Lord, that's dilly-dallying. I pray you'll move in them and speak to them. Refresh them and renew them and convict them as well. And give us a hunger. Put a thirst on every one of us. For you said there that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Oh, God, will you fill us, but will you give us a hunger, a thirst, Lord, that will seek after you as a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. Lord, the deep calleth to the deep. Help us, Lord, and respond, we pray. Bless everyone, every sister in this room, every brother. We ask for all the children that say the verses here, and even those that don't come. We plead the blood of Christ over every one of them. The older children, every grandson, every granddaughter. May you save every one of them. Save the wife. Save the husband. All that's near and dear in our hearts tonight, move upon them, we pray, Lord Jesus. For we know you're coming soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless each one tonight. Thank you.